Take your Bibles and open them to our text in Ephesians chapter 13. Again, I remind you just rather quickly, this is a part of a bigger picture that we have in regard to reset. Bowing our knee is a process in which we begin the process of changing the way our mind thinks, realizing it's not about us, it's not within our power, it's not within our abilities, but has everything to do with His work that He is doing through Christ. If we could humble ourselves and bow the knee to Him, it will change the way we think, because we will experience and know Him better. We will know Him more. We will know the power of His glory in such a way that it will change the way we think about the trials that we face in life. It will change about the problems that we face as a country. And no longer will we be so much worried about tweets or Twitter or whatever else, but we will just realize that regardless, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, whether it's a leader you like, a leader you don't like, that God is in control and He has a divine plan and He is faithful and just and we can trust Him. You know, we are celebrating freedom here in the next couple days. Liberation. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm proud to say as an American I'm free to do. Man, we could sit here all day, right? And talk about them. We're free to sing songs about Jesus Christ. We're here to meet here today and preach and teach the truth of who Jesus Christ is. We're able to go out into our community and share Christ with others without feeling, I'm free to go out and buy a home, and I'm free to go out and pick my own health care, and I'm free to, there's so many things that we are blessed with. But the greatest blessing that we have is the ability to come before the presence of God. The veil was rent. We who were once afar off were brought close. And because, as we looked at the prodigal son this morning, as that father wrapped the robe around the son and placed that ring upon his finger, we are also robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have reason to celebrate. And there is no greater way to celebrate than to live within the fullness of the freedom that we have. And there is no greater freedom than there is to come before the presence of God. And yet, as Christians, including myself, we are pitiful at best in exercising that privilege. My wife finally cornered me and had me sit down and watch The War Room with her. I had never seen it before. Man, first of all, I love that lady. What's grandma's name? What's her name? Anyway. Whew. What a powerful story displaying the power of prayer. We throw money at our problems. We throw our ideas at our problems and issues. We try to fix people when we can't fix people. When all we have to do is bow the knee, humble ourselves before God. That's really what this lesson is about today. We're eventually going to get to the reset of our voice and reset of our hands. But right now, we're still changing the way we think. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and look. As we get into this discussion of the importance or the priority of prayer, bow the knee. There's some reasons why prayer is important. Because Prayer is an agent of strengthening. How many of you feel weak in some way? Physically, emotionally, always, every way? Yeah. Yes. How many of you feel like there's a situation in your life that you don't have the power or ability to fix, or you can't figure it out right now in your life? Let me see your hands. Do you realize how many people, the whole room is raising their hands right now. Prayer is a gift for the strengthening of the believer. Let's look at our text for a second. Chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. It says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." First of all, shame on us. How often do we lose heart because of someone else's tribulations? But it's real quick to lose heart on our own tribulations, isn't it? But regardless of whether it's yours or someone else, we don't have to lose heart, is the point. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with a might through his Spirit in the inner man." The answer, we are searching for the answer outside with money. See, again, the Sunday school lesson this morning, everybody was focusing on the money, but it was really about what? The relationship. What was going on in the inside? So often we feel like the answers to our problems are going to be fixed with just one more bonus. If I could just pay off that last bill. And don't get me wrong, we should be stewards of the blessing. But you know what? If you pay off all your bills and you haven't changed your heart attitude, what's going to happen, right? You're going to be in the same mess you were in before financially. Believe me, I've been there, done that. The answer is a strengthening within. For the most of us, we are strengthened and sustained by prayer and praise. And I want you to notice the implication throughout this text from 13 all the way down through verse 21, that there is a connection between prayer and the community. Prayer and the community. Which is why I was pleading this morning for more to show up on Wednesday nights. Because I believe the answer to our problems individually and corporately and as a community in Gretna and as a nation is found in our ability to bow the knee. That is where we will find the strength that we need. We can balance all the budgets we want. If our heart is wicked, we've not done what needs to be done. We can feed the hungry people, but if we don't feed their soul, we've done nothing. There's a strengthening within that takes place. Secondly, it is a prayer of indwelling. It is the indwelling of Christ in the hearts of the congregation where love is produced. Love is manifested in prayer. When's a time in your life when you had ill feelings or a struggle with another individual? And you chose not to pray with them because you knew that if you started praying for them, what would happen? God would begin to work on your heart and your attitude towards that person. Been there, done that one too. See, when we bow the knee, we are acknowledging the Spirit of God within us, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And we're not only acknowledging it, but we're saying, I am dependent upon the working of the Holy Spirit in my life to deal with whatever issue that you're dealing with at the time. And that is an amazing gift. Christ cannot be simply a concept or a memory. The risen and living Christ comes to us in word and deed and seeks to find hearts in which to dwell and deliver love. Christ in you is love in you. And Christ wants you to manifest that love. Thirdly, it is a prayer of communion. If we want a stronger community, whether it's a community at your home, whether it's community in these four walls, Gretna Baptist Church, whether it's community in Gretna itself, or as a nation, if we want a stronger community, we have to find it in prayer first. Look at verse 18. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Length and depth and love and height, of God's love. That's what it's talking about. See, we cannot express the fullness of God's love any greater than our sense of community. See, there is something special when you get a group of people who are so different, coming from so many different places, with so many different backgrounds, with so many different ethnicities, with so many different socioeconomic statuses, when you're able to bring all those people together and find unity, that is a powerful thing. You don't believe me? Try it sometime. Pick any issue you want. Pick the issue of your favorite grape and why. And try to get everyone to agree about your favorite grape is the best grape and get them convinced why. I'm going to say Concord grapes, even though they have seeds in them, because I like the way they taste, and I grew those. And so I kind of have a love for them. You like Concord? Look, it's happening. We're in agreement. Anybody else? Concord grapes? No. Do you realize how special it is to find unity on anything? Steve Green wrote a song years ago that I think is special, that among certain Christian circles was demeaned a little bit, I think unfairly. And there is a phrase in that song, he says, "If in Christ we agree, let us seek unity. Let the walls come down." And Steve Green, I know him so well, such a missionary and a heart for Christ. He wasn't saying, let's compromise our theological beliefs. He says, let's stop working against each other and let's start working together. If in Christ we agree, let's find unity in that. It's a prayer of communion. It brings us, it draws us together. You know, when Christ was meeting with his disciples, he was praying with them and spending time with them as part of the Passover feast. There were many prayers within the Passover as they were doing, and they were passing those cups of communion and redemption. And as they were doing that, it was drawing them close together. Why? Because he knew as soon as he was taken into and he was arrested, that they would be divided. And when did his followers find unity again? When they witnessed the power of his resurrection. They were convinced at that point that Jesus Christ is everything that he said he was. And he did everything that he said he would do. And after they were impacted by the power of the resurrection, they were never the same. At that point, they were giving their lives, rather than running for their lives. But then it's also a prayer of knowledge. We don't know what we don't know, do we? But we won't know what we don't know until we talk to the one who does know. Isn't that a simple concept? Look at verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Look, I love knowledge. I love to know things. I love to study things and weird things, too. Sometimes I like the rabbit trails I find myself researching sometime just to know. It's kind of scary and weird. Like, I have this fascination with Scientology. I'm like always researching it and looking at their ways and their doctrine, and it's like that's my pet cult or something. It's weird. There's other things that I do that with too. But none of that compares. All that knowledge is vain knowledge compared to knowing the love of God through Christ. That's really what our text is saying. You can get educated, you can research, you can find out all the information, you can know what happened, when it happened, how it happened. And if you don't know love, that's real knowledge. See, the love of God gives me a context for all other information. That's the point, right? I can study the heavens, I can study the earth, and I can study geography, and I can study the ecosystem and how complex it is and how we give off, you know, carbon dioxide and it gives off oxygen, and I see the world around us trying to figure things out and creating these CO2 machines that are capturing the carbon. And I'm thinking, what in the world are we doing? We're dealing with the symptoms when really the answer is found in the love of Jesus Christ. And if we could just know the love of Jesus Christ, then everything else will begin to fall in place. It gives us then a context for true knowledge. Finally, to know the love of Christ surpasses all forms of knowing. That is not to say that knowing other things is irrelevant. On the contrary, to know all we can know about our world is important, but we must know it in the context of God's love. Because all knowledge, all truth is God's truth. God accomplishes all things by the power of His work in us. So it is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21, we see three simple truths. We've already looked now at the benefits of this prayer, but now let's talk about the prayer itself. When we go to God, it is an acknowledgement that we don't have the answer. It is humbling ourselves before Him. Isn't pride the very thing that got us into our sin problem in the first place? The pride of life. To be like God. We need to acknowledge in our prayer life that God is God and we are not. Now I realize we could spend an entire hour just talking about that. The ways in which we try to manifest our superior knowledge over God. But quite simply, as we look at this text, we see that one of the key aspects of this prayer that Paul is talking about is simply a prayer that acknowledges that he is God and we are not, and we are lost without him. When we pray, we need to think about the person that we're approaching and saying, God, I can't fix this, but I know you can. We need to realize that we are coming to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are saved, he's already exemplified to us and shown us that he is capable of addressing our problem, because through Jesus Christ, he fixed the biggest problem we will ever face, our sin debt. In giving us Jesus Christ, as we celebrated this morning, he's proven to us. So therefore, let's acknowledge that he is God, and in him all things exist. Amen? But then secondly, it's only one step to acknowledge God to fix it, but now we have to take the next step, which is what? Ask. The Bible says, ask and you will what? Receive. Now there's some stipulations to that, right? We have to be asking according to God's will, according to his truth. Paul is praying for spiritual needs of the Ephesians, and we can ask God the same things for our own church and our own churches that we know. Look at verses 16 through 19 as we think about this passage in the context of asking. Paul says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. He wants them to be strengthened. He wants to be rooted. He wants them to be able to comprehend with all the saints. That is, notice he says, comprehend with all the saints. Comprehend with all the saints. It's not about you knowing, but it's about us knowing together. Because we are one body, right? And yet, as we think about prayer and how often we don't utilize the gift and the power of prayer, maybe as an individual you do, but do we as a church the way we should? It's my job to direct the aspects of what's going on in this church, and I guarantee you we have fallen short in our corporate prayer. That's partially a leadership problem on my part, an apathy problem on our parts. Why would we not ask? Why would we not invite God into the struggle, asking him for comprehension, asking him for strength? Why would we seek God in prayer as a flare prayer, which is often what we do, right? We do everything that we know to fix the problem, and then when we realize all we've done is mess it up even worse, then we finally, what? In the last resort, pull the flare prayer, and we ask God, please, Lord, I'll never do this again. Just come and fix this. Been there, done that. It's only when we acknowledge God and we begin to ask will we fully appreciate who God is. When we learn to pray and ask God for things, you know what God is going to do? He's going to respond. Now, it may not always be the way that you think he's going to respond. It may not always be even the way that you want him to respond, but God is going to respond. And boy, if there's anything that I can say that this church needs more than anything else, If there's anything that I can say that this community needs to see more than anything else, if there's anything I can say that this country needs to see more than anything else, is that God is on the move. God is on the move, hallelujah, God. There is benefit when people see God in action. I'm talking about those situations that make no sense otherwise, where there's nobody can come in and steal the glory. There's nobody can take credit. It is so obvious that it was a God thing that the people around, even those who don't even know Jesus Christ, even those who are just looking from the outside in, are baffled by it, and they say, I don't know. And what a witness it is for us to appreciate God to the point where we can say, well, I know. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Do we appreciate that? How do we show appreciation for something? Acknowledging it. Asking him to do more. So we can appreciate more. See how this thing is, it's a cycle. When you acknowledge God and you ask, he's going to intervene and he's going to do an amazing thing, and we will appreciate it, and we will then give him more acknowledgement, and then we will see how powerful he is, and we will ask again, and First Peter 2:9 says that you are God's chosen people. Why? So you could show forth the praises of him who's called you out of the darkness. Let your light shine before men so they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, God wants to be acknowledged. God wants to be asked. And God wants to be appreciated. And prayer is the method of which that takes place. It's my prayer that our desire be that God is glorified and acknowledged and asked and appreciated at Gretna Baptist Church. Listen, we can build an amazing gym. We could have this audiovisual system that one day we're hoping to have. By the way, we're $4,000 into that $10,000 goal. Amen. Just keep praying. We'll keep researching the opportunities and the ways. But as we think about all the things that we can accomplish, all the things that we can do, all the programs we can run, all the VBS programs we can run, the Sunday school programs we can run, all of that, serves one purpose. So that God can be acknowledged, asked, and appreciated through Jesus Christ. That's why we exist, to make Christ known. We cannot do that on our own. We can't do that through our programs. We can't do that through our ability. There are plenty of churches that have pretty amazing facilities that are not acknowledging, asking, and appreciating God. There are plenty of churches that have some pretty amazing programming that are not acknowledging, asking, and appreciating God. That comes through one source. Your individual heart as it humbles before God. And then as you do that individually, we then as a community of believers are drawn together as we bow the knee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, as we prepare now to participate in communion, I pray that you would help us realize, as we look at these elements, the extent in which you gave so that we could have the privilege to come before your presence. Father, where we have failed you in acknowledging you in our prayer life, forgive us. Father, where we have lost a sense of dependence upon you, forgive us. Lord, I pray that we would realize that you and our lives, individually and corporately, need to be acknowledged, appreciated, and glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and ask our gentlemen to come forward. If you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You guys go ahead and see. I'll begin reading in verse 23. I encourage you to read along with me as we read through in the entire passage. Keep in mind, this is a very intimate setting. This is an upper room, a small room where Jesus is gathered with his followers, and he's wanting them to be prepared for what's about to come. So in that context, he's sharing these words, but also sharing with them the practice of the Passover, which is reinforcing the message that he is saying. Verse 23. When I get to the words of Christ, please read aloud with me. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Father, we thank you for the gift of these elements. Not that there's anything supernatural that's taking place here. We do not believe in transubstantiation. We don't believe that these elements are changing into anything else, but we believe that Jesus Christ and his death on the cross was sufficient once and for all. And because of that, we acknowledge the magnitude of this gift. And we pray that these elements will be a symbol as we partake of them, of our appreciation for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And I pray that it will cause us to seek your face in prayer, to bow the knee more, to tell others and acknowledge the goodness of God through Jesus Christ to our friends and neighbors, to fulfill the Great Commission. Father, I'm not asking even to bless these elements today. It's just grape juice and bread. Bless your people who are taking these elements and remembering the magnitude of the gift that has been given to them. As they taste the sweetness of the juice, I pray that they would remember the sweetness there is to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. I pray that as they partake of that bread that is without leaven, that they would remember the sinless sacrifice that he made on their behalf. So, Father, as we partake, we thank you for these gifts that cause us to remember Christ. But, Father, more importantly, we ask that these elements, as we partake of them, will stir within us a desire to make Christ known. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we have the privilege of serving you the bread, which is a representation of the body of Christ. Jesus said the words, "As often as you take this, remember me." But before we do that, I want us to think about what that means to remember Christ. Because I hardly think he just meant as you literally just eat this little piece of bread, remember me. But I think he meant as you live your life and you make the choices you make, remember Christ. He who began a good work in you wants to be faithful to complete that work as you submit yourselves to him, making a daily sacrifice of your own. So with that again, I say, as he gave them that bread, he says, as often as you eat this bread, remember me. This time we're going to serve the cup, which is a representation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave them the cup, he said that this cup represented a new covenant. It's interesting when you begin to think about new, the word new, because you can't think about the word new unless you then think about what? The old. The old covenant was based upon the law, the purpose of the law. So people would live perfectly before God? No. It was to show people they could not live perfectly before God. So they would acknowledge that they needed something new, different. That mystery was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, which we've looked at in Ephesians. Christ said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it, to show you what you need." See, The law said you had to make many sacrifices to appease God. But Christ made a sacrifice that completely satisfied him once and for all. Where would we be without Christ? Lost, trying for perfection and always falling short. He says, as often as you drink this cup, remember me. Let's continue to worship together as we sing, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And I trust that you have seen him today as we've participated together. Let's stand together as we sing this song, reminding us of the privilege it is to be his.